We are mostly live and completely local. This is Metro South Podcasting.
When criminals in this world appear and break the laws that they should fear and fight to know who see or hear, the cry goes up both far and near for underdog.
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 Speed of lightning, roar of thunder, fighting all who rob or plunder. Underdog.
Hoorah!
Underdog.
Hello, welcome to Stand Up Strong with Ed Miller and Chuck Blanchett. We have a great opening today. We have great guests. When you listen to us, we have Melissa Rodriguez, who's a community activist. We have Michelle Dubois, who's running for state rep.
We also have Jacob Tagger, who's going. Well, he just announced that he's running for councilor of Ward 6. And we also have Mark Lindy, who ran for register of probate, and he'll be on the show.
It's going to be a great show, and I think you should listen, and you're going to be amazed.
Amazed.
Melissa, thank you for calling Stand Up Strong with Ed Miller and Chuck Blanchett. We're both there. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you guys?
Oh, we're doing fine. I'm going to let you know, you're our first guest in our podcast, so you'll never be able to live that down.
I feel honored.
Well, thank you for calling in. You know, we're starting the show up again, doing a podcast. We're trying to get people informed of what's happening in our city and throughout the country, but especially where in our city we live with, it's very hard to get information out. And I read you're having a fundraiser coming up very soon. I think it was in October.
Well, actually, the Downtown Boston Association is having the third annual golf tournament, and it's going to be September 22nd.
22nd.
Next Monday.
And what are you trying to raise for? Is it the organization itself?
Well, we're trying to do fundraisers so we can to benefit the Boston Holiday Parade that's coming up in November.
Oh, okay, great. And how long has the holiday parade been going on in Brockton?
It's been 28 years.
28 years.
Boston Holiday Parade, yes, and it's getting stronger and stronger every year.
And is this the Thanksgiving Day Parade, or around Thanksgiving, or is it a different parade?
It's the Saturday right after Thanksgiving.
Okay.
I believe it's the 29th of November.
And what kind of events does the parade have itself?
Well, we have like over 130 floats. And we have people going downtown Brockton. They have their floats decorated. We have float contests. We have people singing Christmas carols. We just have people from the outskirts of Brockton bringing festive ideas and just joy to the downtown Brockton
Now, just out of curiosity, are we going to try as a community to break the Guinness Book of World Records again with how many people are wearing Santa hats? I think we tried to do that once before.
Oh, yes, that was the Santa hat challenge. We actually had that in August at the Shaw's event, but we are also going to include the Santa hats and the Brockton Holiday Parade this year. So we want everybody to wear the Santa hat. And then either in the beginning or the end of the holiday parade, we're going to take a big picture so we can break a record also.
Okay, and about the golf tournament, why don't you tell us where it is and how people can sign up if they want to participate?
Okay, so it's going to take place at the Easton Country Club, 265 Purchase Street in South Easton. And registration is going to start at 8:30, and it's a full driving range. And we're going to have a lot of contests. We're going to have long drive contests. We're going to have closest to pin contests, and we're going to have a lot of raffles going on.
Okay, and is there a suggested donation to be able to participate?
Well, the cost for an individual golfer is $100. For a foursome, is $400. And if you want to do a T-sign sponsor, it's $125. And if you want to do a corporate sponsor, it's $500.
And what happens if you don't know how to golf? Now, I'm not a golfer. Can I still participate?
Oh, of course. Anybody can participate. I actually golfed for the first time in my life last year, and I was amazed by the sport. I learned a lot. I didn't know what I was doing, but the two people I was golfing with, they were professionals, so they really helped out. So if you're going and you don't know, they'll put you with somebody that knows how to golf, and then they can teach you a little bit. But you don't have to be a professional to go. It's just really a fun time. They're also going to have lunch. Really nice meal that they make, that they prepare at the Eastern Country Club, but you don't have to be professional.
Well, that works out well, because I don't know if you're familiar with the movie Happy Gilmore, with Adam Sandler, who, you know, was a hockey player turned professional golfer, but that's exactly how I would actually swing the swing the golf club.
Except without hitting the golf club. Well, yeah. I'm the same way, yeah. Now,
yeah, you don't have to worry.
How many people have signed up for this golf tournament so far?
We already have 85 people confirmed and signed up, and we have 140 spots available.
Oh, so you're still looking for a few more, huh?
Yes. If you guys want to join us September 22nd, you guys are more than welcome to.
Right, well, I'll have to think about it. I'm not I don't have a good experience golfing, so. It's probably a nightmare for me, but, you know, I can certainly go to have, I like to have a good time.
Exactly. That's the point, just to have a good time and network and meet other people around Brockton.
Yeah.
And that's how you get to know more about more activities in our city.
Exactly. And you get to know them because we're all going to have them up here on Stand Up Strong to let everybody know about, you know, people like yourself who are trying to do so much for the city, and it's just very hard to get the word out. I mean, you can post it on Facebook. The problem is if you don't catch it at that particular time, it's gone.
It could be too late. No, I understand. I mean, we have been posting our activities, the ones that I know, on the City of Brockton website, so that's a good resource, too, that everybody can go on and, you know, check out the activities we have in our city.
And what are some of the prizes if people enter? What can they win?
I know that they have like alcohol gift baskets. They have golf bags. They have money. They have money. They have gift certificates to restaurants. They have a lot of stuff.
Okay. Well, you know, I'll let you know. My company loves to give gift certificates out to organizations that, you know, use it for fundraisers. So I certainly commit with Verk Rentals that we can put a $100 gift certificate together for your organization to give out as a gift.
Oh, that would be perfect. We would love that.
Okay, definitely. It's in the mail, so to speak.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah, might not have a stamp on it, but it's in the mail. No, we'll definitely get it to you, and you can definitely count on it.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay, any other events you work? Because I know you do a lot of work with DBA Brockton and other organizations. Are there any other organizations or any other events that are coming up that you'd like to let people know about?
Well, at the end of the last ones of every month, we do have the Downtown Brockton Association meetings, and anybody's welcome to assist. We do have, we're going to have the mayor next month. This month, we're going to have the BRA come down to, you know, just to tell us about what's going on downtown. But we have, it's very informative. It's very nice.
Okay, well, thank you. Melissa, thank you for calling in. We definitely want to have you on the show again.
Okay.
Again, thank you for being our first guest and starting us off well.
Oh, thank you so much for calling me.
Oh, no problem, no problem. You were listening to Melissa Rodriguez of Brockton, Mass., who is running a fundraiser for the holiday parade that's going to be coming up in November. The fundraiser is September. You can listen again to the podcast and get all the information. But it seems like it's going to be a good time. And again, thank you for calling in, and we'll be right back.
Thank you, sweetie. Bye-bye. Have a good day.
Bye now.
You too, thanks.
Bye-bye.
When criminals in this world appear and bring the laws that they should fear, and frighten all who see or hear. The cry goes up both far and near for Underdog.
Underdog. Underdog.
Hi, Michelle. This is Ed Miller from Stand Up Strong. How you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you, Ed?
Oh, very good. Very good. Can you hear us?
I can hear you. Where are you?
Well, we're in an undisclosed bunker.
Wonderful.
You know that, you know, the government shut down. No, that's not true. I was going to get all into that. No, you know the situation of the radio station. They decided to go in a different direction. I wish him the best.
Yes.
But I'd like to say, first of all, congratulations on your win in the primary.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
And what a huge win.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Are we on air right now?
No, this is a podcast. We're taping this. We're going to be putting it on the podcast. I'll let you know that people can sign in tomorrow to listen to it, and they can listen to it anytime. Have your people go to, if they want to listen to the interview, MetroSouthPodcasting.com. They'll see the name, probably be under Stand Up Strong or something like that, and they can listen to all the interviews. And I'm glad you were able to find some time to be on this show.
Yes, happy to do it.
And now you ran a very good race, very tight race. I think everybody did. It seemed like everybody did their best. There was, you know, of course, in politics, as always, people get mad at someone for this or saying that. But I think overall, the race was very civilized, especially when we've seen how some races broke down to. And I think everybody stayed on point. And I think you had a great message. You know, especially now, you're very much into the environment. Why don't you give a little bit of that, about that, especially with the power plant and your opinion on that, why we need it, why we don't need it, and, you know, I know...
Well, and I'm running on a working families agenda, and I'm against the power plant, and anybody that knows me knows that I've been against it for a really long time. Brockton has one of the 10th highest asthma hospitalization rates in the state for children. Our air pollution is already very bad, and we don't have to add anything to it. And so I've really fought on that issue, and as a result, I've been endorsed my candidacy by Clean Water Action, the Sierra Club, Massachusetts Voters for Animals, the Mass Teachers Association, a range of SEIU locals that really represent hardworking families, teachers, janitors, security guards, medical workers. I've been endorsed by Mass Alliance, Mass Equality, and all my opponents went for these endorsements. And I got them because I work really hard, and I'm a known entity. People know that I fight for working families, and that's my main priority. So that, my campaign, thank you for the compliment that it was a tightly run race, but the results were not. I mean, I won 3-1, and I think that I won 3-1 by a 3-1 margin, because I have been a really strong representative for the people of my district, and that they know that I'm going to continue that at the State House. So that's what I really credit my 3-1 victory to. And I just want to welcome people to come into my campaign that didn't vote for me.
Yeah. Oh, again, when I said tightly run race, I mean, it seemed like you, and looking at the other candidates, everybody had a focus. So there were no one who was really running around not knowing what they're doing. That's what I meant by tightly run, and you did run a great campaign. I felt the others did too. I think, you know, when you have to get your message out there. You got your message out there, and I think that rang with the people who voted, and they came out and voted for you.
Yeah, and I'm so thankful for that.
Now you're saying for the working class of Brockton, which there are many of us, the State House, which you, if you win, and you know, I certainly hope you do. They already passed raising the minimum wage, and that's going to be in 3 years going up to $11.
Yeah.
The other big one that's coming up, and then hopefully be coming up for the vote, is sick time for people who don't have that right now. Why don't you give your opinion on that? Many people right now, and I'm sorry, I'm going to rephrase that. Some people are saying, you know, business is going to fall apart and everybody's going to abuse it. Why don't you give your opinion on that? Can that happen? Do you think it will happen? Or do you feel that it would benefit people who don't have sick time?
I support earned sick time. Again, it's a working families agenda. The agenda that I'm running on is a working families agenda. And this is a working families issue. So no one that's working at, like, any job that doesn't give sick time should lose their job because they get sick. They shouldn't come to work sick and infect, you know, their coworkers. And if they actually work at a food establishment, they sure shouldn't be coming to work sick and getting all the patrons sick. So earned sick time is really something that I believe in and that I'll support at the ballot and I'll support as a state representative. I think that workers deserve minimum protections, and that is one of them. So I support that. I don't think it will have any negative effect on business at all. So I counter that claim. It's similar to when they had smoking outlawed in Massachusetts, and people were saying that that would drive down business, or when we instituted the meals tax, which is like a penny on a huge bill, or, you know, a few pennies. That's brought in millions and millions of dollars to the city, and it's being paid by people from outside Brockton and inside Brockton that go out to eat there, and that has actually been a benefit, and there hasn't been any business closed because of that. So, you know, I think that these are scare tactics that people want to put out there to really repress some vulnerable people that need minimum protection. So I support earned sick time. Like I said, I support legislation that's going to help working families. So that's a range of things, and that's my bedrock.
Well, I agree with you, and that's the fear that these people who are against it try to throw on the people. Right now, nationally, 3.5 days a year used for sick time. So it isn't, you know, it's a month off, you know, and people are calling in. And it's amazing that the people who say that they're against it but have no evidence that say the people who don't have it are going to abuse it. It always seems like those people never know who those people are.
From what I understand, it's 5 days. So I don't know if you can even really abuse 5 days sick time a year. I know that I'm a very healthy person, and I'm probably sick 5 times a year,
mm-hmm.
you know, that I can't go to work. I mean, that happens. It happens to normal people. We are all human. And these are things that happen to human beings. And so you want to make sure that those protections are in place so people don't get mistreated. So I do support that. And my whole goal as state representative is going to be bringing money home to the district for a range of working family issue items. So that's increasing funding for education, after-school programming. In East Bridgewater and West Bridgewater, they still pay for full-day kindergarten and preschool, and a lot, and it's around $3,000 per child. And a lot of working families just cannot afford that. So I want to push to have full-day preschool and kindergarten. In Brockton, there are a lot of kids that could benefit from after-school programming, and both from really great, strong families and from families that are struggling. And so that, making sure that our kids are ready to be able to lead fulfilling, self-sufficient lives as adults is something that, if we can do it right, will, you know, generate a huge return for the community of Brockton in the long run. Because people that fail at school in Brockton, a lot of them may turn to crime and drugs, and then those are the people that stay in Brockton. So my goal is to make sure that the children get the educational services they need to excel. And then when they're adults, if they choose to stay in Brockton, great. But if they choose to leave, that's fine too. I want them to be prepared and have the skills that they need to be successful in life. And that is my goal. And I know that's the goal that every parent has for their child. And that's what I want to bring to the district. So that's one of my main funding priorities is education. And then I care about public safety. We really need to make sure that we can you know, reverse the closure of a fire department in Brockton. That is totally unacceptable. One of the station houses was closed. I want to make sure that they get a ladder, which they need, make sure that their equipment is replaced so that when firefighters go into buildings or police officers are out on the street protecting the families of Brockton, they have the skills and the materials and the tools they need to do their job effectively and be able to come home safe to their families at night. That is the prime responsibility of government. So I want to make sure that that funding is increased, and I care about our roads and infrastructure, because as a city councilor, it's been one of my biggest struggles is getting roads repaved, and that's because the city's not getting enough money for those services. So I want to make sure that that gets increased as well.
Well, yeah, I agree, and especially when you're talking about bringing in aid for children, for events and things for them to do, you know, here we have a lot of single parents, or we have a lot of parents where both parents have to work jobs and work 40, 50, 60 hours a week, and, you know, something has to be done to keep the children and teenagers busy. I mean, as much as we don't want to think about our past, you know, if we didn't have events, if we didn't have things to join, what would we be doing? We'd be hanging out, you know, and when you're young, you always think the you know, the cool kid is, you know, who happens to be the bad kid, and they're the ones who influence people, and, you know, sometimes it's just sport. I remember former Chief Manny Gomez used to say, you know, a lot of kids you know, who we see is getting in trouble, they're not bad kids, they were just bored. They had nothing to do.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, I totally agree with that sentiment. And Ed, I'm sorry to do this to you, but I am literally knocking on doors right now, and my cell phone is about to die.
Okay, well, I appreciate the call.
I'm sorry. Do you think we can do this again?
Definitely. I mean, we're going to have these interviews right up to the election. Hopefully, we'll be doing a podcast a lot longer than that, and maybe a lot more. So we definitely able to call, and we're able to get you some information. We'll get that out there. Michelle, good luck.
Thank you, Ed.
I know you're going to get a great response in Brockton, and it's out East Bridgewater and part of West Bridgewater?
All of West Bridgewater and Precinct 1 in East Bridgewater.
Yeah, I think you'll get good responses out there. And, of course, you know, you're going to have a lot of people from Brockton who are going to be supporting you.
Well, I thank all the voters that came out in the primary, and I welcome anybody onto my campaign, and I ask for their vote in November in the general election.
Okay, well, that was Michelle Dubois. She is.
Thank you.
She is running for the 10th Plymouth District that covers, as she said, Brockton, West Bridgewater, and one precinct in East Bridgewater. And we'll be right back.
When criminals in this world appear, break the laws that they should fear, and frighten all who see or hear. The cry goes up both far and near for Underdog.
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 This is the Stand Up Strong with Ed Miller and Chuck Blanchett. And on the phone, we have Jacob Taggart of Brockton, Mass. Now, Jacob has already announced that he's going to run for Ward 6 as the counselor. Jacob, you announced really early. You can announce any time, I guess, but what was your thinking of announcing now? What are the things you're going to be planning to do to get your name out there?
What I've always said from day one and how I've always been is I'm just going to be who I am, and I'm not going to do it, I guess, how it would be a politically correct way to do it, I guess, and I wanted to announce because I think my intention should be known. After we, you know, I lost in the primaries last year, I spoke to my wife that night, and, you know, she said to me, she said, you know, maybe they just weren't ready. Because it was kind of hard losing my 178 votes to get into on the primary, but again, I know what mistakes I made. I didn't compromise my integrity at all, so I was proud of what I did. So I just wanted to announce. I spoke to our current city councilor earlier in the year and told her before I told anybody else other than my wife. Mm-hmm. And told her no matter what happens with her going forward, I'm running for Ward 6. It was always my intention to run for a ward anyways, but last year I couldn't do it because, of course, you know, a good friend of mine, Ollie Spears, where I was living, was in Ward 5. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't going to run against Ollie I believe in Ollie. I support Ollie, so that wouldn't have made sense. And I actually like the idea of being a ward counselor, but couldn't do it last year. So when I did move, my family and I, you know, got a bigger place, and we moved into Ward 6 where I went to school as a kid. That's why I announced. There's no reason to hold off. I mean, everybody knows, kind of, and Ed, you've been involved, so you know, everybody knows what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They just wait to say it. Well, that's great, because I don't want to be like everybody else, because I'm not. So just be upfront with who I am and what I'm going to do and what my intentions are. So that's why I announced early.
Well, that's a good thing, and, you know, especially it is a breath of fresh air when you have some, this is me, this is how I'm going to be, because you don't find that, I think everybody's fear, it's not that you make a mistake, you correct your mistakes, you move on, but it's everybody's afraid to make a mistake, I've always found, and they start just trying to run to the middle and not really divulging anything on what they really can do or what they want to do when they run. Now, as... Let's say you win, and you become the next Ward 6 counselor. What are the things that you think are deficient here in Brockton that needs to be improved?
Of course, I'm in business. I'm a multi-area manager for a Fortune 500 company. And part of any business, I know you're a businessman too, is image. And we need to expand the tax base. That's something you were really big on last year. We can't expand it with the image we have right now. And a lot of the image comes from what we as residents give our city. You know what I mean? We need to promote some sort of image campaign, a positive image campaign about what's good about Brockton, because there's a lot of good going on in Brockton. And to expand the tax base, of course, we have to bring people here. Nobody's going to want to shop at a store if it's, you know, if it's gives off the impression that it's unsafe or it's not clean. And we need to bring people in, and that's one big thing I know. I've always promoted this positivity. I don't think negative thinking is going to help anything at all. That's one of my big points. And then in Ward 6 is a highly residential area. I want to start a neighborhood association. I know they're doing one that's doing pretty well right now over on the south side over in Ward 4, Keith Park.
Yep.
I think that would be a good thing over here in this ward. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I was going to bring up, and it's not something a counselor would vote on, but one of the big issues that we're having now is raising the minimum wage. It did get passed. Just so, you know, people can find out, because we do have people who are involved in politics and actually sitting in seats. It could be for or be against raising the minimum wage. We have people on both sides of the aisle. But that's helping Brockton. We're a working class city. Unfortunately, minimum wage has not gone up with the times. You're making less money than people made in the 60s when they made around a minimum wage. Are you supporting raising the minimum wage, against it?
I'm for it. I don't stand in the middle. I never stand in the middle on anything. Yeah. I'm either on the left or the right. So now I'm for it to an extent. Cost of living has gone up, so of course people need more money.
Yeah.
We need to be careful on how high we raise it. I know, what is it going to go? The cap is to 11?
11.
Yeah, 11 I'm fine with. Yeah. Maybe even a little bit higher for right now. Well, mm-hmm. I think, what's that, over 3 years, correct?
Yeah, plus, I you know, people are talking about raising it to $15. People are fighting that. But here's the thing, and you know, when you're negotiating anything, you don't ask for what you want. You ask for more of what you want, and then you go down. So a lot of people, as we know, are complaining, oh, it can't be $15 an hour. Well, if they're asking $15 an hour, you know it's not going to be. Just to bring out one stat, and I think a lot of people, we hear this a lot, but I like to repeat it. If you took the people who made the minimum wage back in, like, in the 60s, it was $1.60. People made about $2 an hour, $2.15 an hour. If you multiply that, there's actually, you can go online and find a calculator. And actually, if you made $2, $2.15 an hour in the 60s, in today's money, that's $12 an hour. It's like a little under 12, which is right at the $11 an hour, where, you know, at least you should be able to, you know, pay your rent. And as you say, you support it, so, I mean, which is good, because doesn't that help our city when people have more money to spend? As you're saying, we got to increase the spending, you know. Well, how do you
everybody
do that?
Everybody thrives.
Yeah. So that's
like
a good
thing.
Like
I said, as long as it goes, you know, when people do start talking, I understand it. Mm-hmm. And I also want to congratulate you, because I know you've been a champion on it. getting out there, getting signatures. As long as it's, you know, more than 12, I'd be a little skeptical right now.
Mm-hmm.
The 11, I'm comfortable at.
Yeah.
But people should be able to pay their bills.
Right.
I tell my wife all the time, as long as we can pay our bills and there's a roof over our heads and the kids have food and clothes, I'm fine.
Yeah, we need to be rich. You go out with your family and, you know, you make a living. Actually, what's the American dream? Make a living,
yeah, that's not
being able
that.
To take your kids. One of the big things, and this is what I think a counselor can help, at least on a city level, we've been hearing what's happening in the NFL, and I think that is just coming out. We had Ray Rice, who got caught in domestic violence, and Adrian Peterson. Who took a switch to his kid, 4-year-old. And what do you feel? How do you feel? The help people in Brockton were in that situation. Is there things that you think we should be doing in our city to help inform people how to get out of that situation or working with people? Do you have any ideas that the city of Brockton can start?
Well, you know it, and you'd probably actually even be able to explain it more than I would as far as like what a city councilor does. I think sometimes people have misconceptions of what a city councilor does do and what they have control over. I don't think it's as much as what people think. But I do think, and I know I would be that way if I was lucky enough to be elected, to be an ambassador and going out there, getting information out, having awareness nights on, you know, abuse, whether it's domestic or it's child abuse, physical, like any type of abuse at all. We need to be ambassadors to mm-hmm. try to, you know, help curb that issue because it is an issue. I don't, by any means, again, I'm not going to play either side. I'm going to stand on one. I don't think that we have a right as a government to control how, I don't want to say how, but the discipline of our children, but I don't agree on beating your kids.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, and I'm, my father's from Mississippi, and, you know, kids got disciplined. Your neighbors could actually discipline you. If you went home, you'd get disciplined. Mm-hmm. It's not something I had to deal with as a kid. Maybe it was because I was such a cool kid, but
we were all great kids. All great kids.
I was though. Yeah. I was. You got to listen. If my parents were alive, they'd tell you.
Show off.
My sister, on the other hand, she took all of it. She was a handful.
Yeah.
But so when it comes to, you know, dealing with your children, abuse isn't right. Yeah. You're supposed to be able to discipline your kids, but not abuse them. As far as the domestic violence, I don't agree with that at all. I love my wife. I think if you're ever that angry where you feel you're going to do something physical, you need to learn to control yourself and walk away. So I'm disgusted by the incident. I'm sure there's more that will come out about the incident, but I think as a city councilor, you're a public figure, and you have the responsibility to get that message out there.
Now,
so awareness is a big thing, and information.
Yeah.
I have a question. All right, so as how you said, like an ambassador or whatever, do you... Or would you consider yourself as a city councilor being more of a role model than...
Exactly, yep. Okay. That's a good term.
So
yeah.
what did you run on when you were going for a councilor at large that you could take around and then put as just the councilor of that ward? Like, what's your main goal?
My main goal is a phrase I've been using for a while. Cause I've been in doing volunteer work since I was 17. So I'm 38 now, so it's been 21 years. Is unity in the community. Keyword in unity in the community is unity. And, you know, growing up, I had a great childhood in Brockton, even when there were some things that were going on in the city that, aren't good for the city. I had a great childhood, and I lived in a great community, and I believe I still do. My kid still plays outside. Still plays in his neighborhood, still plays with his friends. So my biggest thing is trying to bring, you know, the community back. And I do feel it is important as any leader, especially on a city level. You need to be out there for your constituents, for your neighbors, and being real. You know what I mean? I don't want to put on a show for anybody. I just want to be who I am because I do believe the person I am. I'm a good person, and I know I can, you know, get people involved. That's definitely been a strength of mine. And bringing, like I said, bringing neighborhoods back, bringing community back. We're all in it together. There's way more good people in Brockton than there are negative people. And the only way we do that is by, you know, joining together and having good, fun, friendly family events and and doing things together and helping build the city up.
Now, going back to what we were talking about before, do you feel there are organizations out there that be able to come into the schools and work on domestic violence and work on abuse? Because I don't think anybody, when they, like Ray Rice was, he's about 28, I don't think he just kind of woke up that day and said, I'm going to go just, you know, beat up on my fiance. I think it starts when it's, I mean, I don't know his life. I don't know who his parents were, but you kind of, that's something that people find, and I guess it would be best to talk to psychologists who work on this, but basically you find out is when, if the abuse is in the home, there is a good chance it's going to continue. Do you think it able, one, work with the school department, and two, even have courses for adults to get involved and try to stem abuse?
Just to go back on something that Chuck had said about, you know, being a role model, the biggest thing is doing it at home first by showing my kids how you're supposed to treat each other, how you resolve conflict. That's the first step. And then try to bring that to other people, because your kids are going to spread that, you know, everything, you know, it's a learning lesson for everybody. But you do it by how you act every day. I do, there's actually an organization, it's called My Diamond Life, that I'm actually going to be helping out. They're an organization out here about, you know, stopping domestic violence and bringing awareness to it. Of course, the schools are part of the community, so that brings it all together. We should all be working together, government, schools, police, fire, neighborhoods, and it's all part of it. So, yeah, of course, I do think it is something that should be spoken about. I think you have to be careful. I'm not an educator. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a psychologist. I don't know how they would go about that and what age they would start it at. But I think the biggest thing is at home. First and foremost, you have to do it at home and then go from there and try to work with organizations to get the message out there to the kids that aren't getting it, because you're right. It does. I would assume that, you know, these are people that have seen some sort of abuse throughout their lives. But that's not to make an excuse for it, because my mom, actually, as a child, came from an abusive issue with her father. I'm very open about talking about it. And she broke the cycle. My mother had to be one of the most loving people ever. My dad was one of 12 kids. His mother raised him, and he was the best father I could ever ask for. So I do think, yeah, you can see it at home, and that's where you might get it. But I also do think we as adults have to break that cycle too. And I know it can be done, because I've seen it, you know, firsthand. I've received nothing but love from my parents. So
no, good, good. And I think, yeah, getting it out there in the open, and I think we're seeing that now. People are. Majority is saying it's not right and you shouldn't do it. And I think if we talk about it, we get the courses out there, get people involved, it can happen. The couple of big issues I'd like to go on happening in Brockton, of course, is the power plant.
Yes.
Now, some people are for it because they think it would help economically, where tax money would come in, sell some water to them. A lot of people are against it because we the pollution that it would cause and the sickness that it can cause. We have two different environmental surveys, one done by people who support the power plant, and then Stop the Power Plant has their own. So there's a lot of information. You just kind of have to wade through it. Now, as a city councilor, will you be someone who's for or against the power plant?
You were at our debate with, was it Ron and Mark Lindy? I'm pretty sure I was definitely clear on I'm against it because of the health risks, no matter how minimal they may be, or some people may say they may be. If there's a small risk, that's a big risk. I wouldn't want it for my kids, wouldn't want it for my family, so why would I want it for anybody else? I do think there's a lot of information or misinformation on both sides. Something I have been doing, and I'm still not an expert at it. I'm trying to do my own research. But yeah, I've always been against it. I don't think it's good for the city. You know, you don't give up, you don't sacrifice people's health for money. You just don't, no matter how much. And I actually don't even think, and I could be wrong, that it's as much revenue we'd be getting anyways. And then the power is not even for the city. It's for Connecticut.
correct. Yeah. So yeah, they put it out on the grid. It's going to go anywhere, or, you know, it wants. Yeah.
Yeah.
So definitely,
I don't think the benefits are enough to risk people's health.
It isn't like we're having rolling brownouts, and we maybe you could convince people if you did have that, where, you know, people losing power, but we're not. Another, I like to call it, if it's Tuesday, it's important. People talk about the city, but it is in a way, especially because now we're seeing improvements to the center, our city center, and any improvement you can make would be great. Some of the business people in the center want to see Main Street go two ways, and that there's two issues to that. Some people saying, well, if you have it going two ways, you're only going to have single traffic. You can't expand the road anymore unless you're going to move buildings. So do you feel it would be a benefit for Main Street to be two ways, or do you feel it's a benefit to keeping it as one way?
I mean, as a one way right now, it's not working. Mm-hmm. I go down there on Saturdays, and it's kind of like a ghost town. I know we are doing some improvements, but right now it's not as busy as it should be. And I like to bring it to the analogy of your center, your downtown is like your core of your body. You can't do anything if you don't work your core. So I think it has to start there. And I do think, you know, we need to try it. I know it's going to be costly, but I think the benefits, it needs to be two-way. Right now it's not working as a one-way. So, I mean, we need to do whatever we need to do to get our core back to thriving. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of businesses down there hurting. I do also think we need the right type of businesses. I was happy with the hiring of Gary Leonard as Main Street manager. I actually was just over at Mulberry Street Playground. They just broke. They're not broke, but they just announced that they're going to be breaking ground in October to renovate or reconstruct that playground. So, I mean, I'm happy with the things that are happening, some of the things that are happening, but I do think bringing it to two-way is very important, and common sense would tell anybody it's not working as a one-way, so you need to get people down there, so whatever you have to do.
Now, what makes you think that it's not working as a one-way? We've gone this whole entire time with it being a one-way. I think that this is on our laundry list of things to do, you know, absolutely, but it's also been, like, the least important thing to do in terms of what we need to get done in Brockton. So why do you think it's not working as a one-way?
I walk down there. I have friends that have businesses down there. There's no traffic. It goes one way. It's not working right now. Did I say it's on the top of the list? No, but it's definitely important. It's definitely up there in top five, I would say, for me.
Now, do you think with all that...
It is done because you have to. You need to bring more traffic down there, more people. When I say traffic, I don't mean cars, but you just need people down there. And right now, we don't have that. That area right there is very important. I walk down there every Saturday, and it's usually like a ghost town. So, and I want to see people on the sides eating and families walking around and stuff like that, and, you know, traffic coming, so, you know, as long as it's safe. But right now, it's not like that.
But we need to look at it this way. So in terms of bringing traffic down there, we're looking at foot traffic, not exactly cars both whack, you know, because of what we're going to do, like, you know, and you have the courthouse and, like, and everything's going to start going two ways. I feel as though, me personally, it doesn't matter because I'm not running for anything yet. And
I like it. Go ahead.
You know what I mean? But like, you know, bring in two ways worth of traffic. Don't you think that that's going to stir other people who have the foot traffic? Like, they're going to not want to be on that street because it's dangerous. Now we have two ways of traffic. People won't be acclimated on what's going on. And then there's going to be like this whole 1 year of getting used to the fact that it's going to be a two-way street. So
I can agree with where you're coming from, but change is part of life. People will get acclimated to it. Right now, being a one-way, it's not working. It is not working. When the biggest business in Brockton is the courthouse, I have an issue with that.
Or the hobby shop.
Yeah, that's the biggest business we have down there. So don't get me wrong. It needs to be a complement of a couple of different things, but I think that is a key part of it because not everybody is just going to walk down there. I don't live close enough to walk down there. But I have to ride around the block to be able to park. It's just, it's not, it's supposed to be a busy area. It is supposed to be a busy area. Yeah, of course we need foot traffic, but we also need people to be able to drive down the street both ways. I do think you have to bring the right businesses there, of course, but it does need to be two-way, in my opinion.
I also think, like, deep down inside, we got to get some better businesses down there, because, like, we used to be, like, the city of champs, and now we're, like, the city of, like, finely coiffed hair and nails, you know, down on Main Street. Like, we used to have, you know, the first department store Santa, like, all these big, the first escalator. You know, we had all these things, and now it's nair and hair and nails and like one restaurant. Like, I just feel like bringing two-way traffic there when there's nothing to go see, it doesn't make any sense.
Maybe business owners would want to go down there if there was more traffic going to be there. Right now, it's nothing. Yeah. There's nothing right now. I have a friend who owns a shop down there, and he's like, he wants to get it two-way, too. I mean, he's not benefiting by being down there.
Do you think the city could help? And that's it. I mean, actually, I can see what you're both saying. You want people to go down there. Chuck wants people to go down there. There aren't the business that are attracting you people who are going down there. Do you think the city can do something at different events on Saturday or Sunday that would attract people there? Do you have any things that you think maybe the city should be doing to get businesses down there? Because as a counselor, you know, you're the one who's going to make the decision. And, of course, just remember, once you win, it's all your fault.
That's fine. That's what you accept as being a leader, though. Everything's not going to be a pat on the back. You know what I mean? But not everybody's a leader.
Yeah.
You know, some people are followers, some people are leaders. But you take that. And you understand that you can't make everybody happy. I'm married. I try my best to make my wife happy every day. But I make mistakes. It's not going to happen every day. And I understand it. You know what I mean? You just can't please everybody. You just, as long as you do the things that you believe are right and the things that you're supposed to be representing, the people you represent, you're doing those things that those people want, I can live with that. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
my conscience will always be clear.
Actually, we're going to have someone else be calling in very shortly. I'm glad you were able to call in, Jacob. I know we're definitely going to give you other calls. We're going to be planning to do a lot more podcasts. And we also have different ideas. And, you know, definitely wanted to get one of the things we want to promote are people who are doing events and people who are running. And, of course, when you run, it's a very shoestring budget. So we definitely want to help people get the word out. That was Jacob Taggart. Jacob, thank you for calling in. I hope we speak to you again.
Thank you. I'm glad you guys are back on.
No problem. That was Jacob Taggart, and he is running for Ward 6 Council in 2015.
When criminals in this world appear and break the laws that they should fear and frighten all who see or hear, the cry goes up both far and near for underdog.
On the line we have Mark Lindy, who is, well, does many things here in Brockton, general manager of the Brockton Cable. He's on the board of trustees and many, many other things. We'll let him talk to you. Hey, Mark, thank you for calling in.
Thanks for having me, Ed. How are you?
No, I'm doing great. How about you?
I am as well. Having a nice leisurely Saturday.
Yeah, I bet you haven't had that in a while. If people don't know, Mark ran for Registry of Probate, ran a great election, didn't make the primary, but had a great staff, had people work for him, ran a great campaign. Mark, why don't you tell us a little, because I want to get into other things with you and what you want to do in the future. But why don't you just, if anybody you want to thank or talk about your campaign for a couple of minutes?
Well, I definitely want to thank you, Ed, as a big supporter of mine and a good friend. I want to thank the voters in Brockton who gave me a great victory in the city of Brockton. Unfortunately, that didn't translate to the whole countywide. County is pretty big. I'm well known in Brockton, worked very hard over the last 8 months, and was not successful in being registered probate Democratic nominee, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to go away and not do anything. I enjoy what I do in the community for service, and of course I have two great jobs, a full-time job at Brockton Community Access, and I've been at for over 20 years, and teaching, just started my 21st year at Massasoit Community College.
Oh, and what do you do up at Massasoit? Well, what do you teach at Massasoit, I should ask?
Depending on the semester, I teach a kind of early morning class, an 8 a.m. class. I teach speech communication, which is public speaking. And this semester, I'm doing television production, which is a three-hour class once a week. I've taught that class probably close to 15 of the 20 years, and the speech class about the last five. I enjoy it very much. As a matter of fact, on election day, I had my two classes. I wasn't going to let my students down, and that was a great part of the day.
And you're also the general manager at Brockton Cable. You want to talk to people on what Brockton Cable does and what maybe some goals you have in the future with Brockton Cable?
Sure. Well, Brockton Community Access is the community access channels for Brockton. We have three of them. We have Channel 9, which is the public channel, Channel 12, which is the government channel, and Channel 98, which is the school channel. That's where they are on the cable dial. And our goals are to serve the community. We cover all the city council and finance committee meetings on the government channel, the school committee meetings, and any special meetings they have. On the educational channel, we do educational programming and sports programming. We cover all the Brockton High School home football games and away football games. We do the men's and women's soccer games in the fall, the varsity soccer. And then we do the the winter sports. We do basketball and hockey. On the public channel, we have about 20 shows that community members produce. Different ethnic groups. The Tigernian Association has a show. There are a couple of Haitian shows. We have something pretty much for everybody, where community members can come take training and learn how to produce their own shows. And then we cover different community events that happen around the city, things like Summerfest, mm-hmm. the Cape Verdean Festival, you name it, we're there. Pretty busy schedule. We have a small, dedicated staff, and then we have great volunteers. We have a volunteer board. And it's just something, I've been doing cable for 31 years now, most of it in Brockton, and it's a lot of fun every day.
Oh, great. And it's great that you have different groups. I mean, Brockton being in a multicultural, you can really see it at the cable station, where you have different events, you have different, sometimes political shows, sometimes shows dealing with drug abuse, and then local shows that you still are they still doing the Greek show? I forget the name.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I should talk about that. Steve Dinos last year suffered a little bit of a health setback, and he's much better now. He just came back. He went to Greece during the summer, and he's starting up this week, so he will be back. We've been kind of airing repeats of that show. Steve's done that show since before even I was there in the early 1990s. He's done pretty close to 900 shows. We've had some real long-term folks that have done shows. We had Ron Van Dam, who had done Another Night for years. He was like, he's up in the 850 number. We have Arco Iris, which is hosted and produced by Moses Rodriguez. That show has been there for a long time. Same with Tel Lumiere and Sailor Ernestina. Sailor Ernestina is actually named after the ship that came over here with Manny Andrade, who founders of the Cape Verdean Association. He's been doing that show. Cape Verdean Association is pretty soon to be about 35 years old as an organization, and that show has been going very strong. So we end up NAACP Forum, which has been hosted by Ozzie Jordan, who is the past president of the NAACP. We have tons of shows that are long-term, and people are very dedicated to doing them. Some people produce weekly, some bi-weekly, some monthly. Lois Berman, who has done radio and television, she produces a show called The Psychic Mind. Those are just a few of them.
Oh, good. It seems, it's always great when it can be that active, and it's great. One, you can have fun doing it and get out information. Luckily, there's not the stressor of you know, having that number one show because you're trying to get the advertisers, there's people. And I think some of the shows can be a little better because you don't have to worry about that and you can get information out there. And I think these community accesses, especially, you know, when you're running it and you're very active trying to get these groups, you know, I think it's a big help for our community.
Well, I'm also always looking. I know you and I have talked about doing programming, and other people have. It's just a matter of, you know, giving us a call down at the station, which is the number is 508-580-2228. We have a website, which is bcatv.org, which stands for Brockton Community Access TV. org, and people can contact us. We have forms online that they can send in, and we'll sign them up for an orientation and then do training. We're looking to probably do some of the training come October, more on the weekends, because we're covering so many high school sporting events. There isn't one day a week that we could pick for a good day to do training 4 weeks in a row, so we might be doing some Saturdays, and we'll have more information up. We'll be updating our website very soon. We have to do better with that and get information out there. It's hard now. One of our prime sources of information is getting it out on radio, and with the radio station in Brockton not being there, it's been difficult to get the message out. Newspaper has not been helpful. Sorry.
What do you mean? There's no radio station in Brockton. What happened?
Well, I think it might be the one that the majority of the people would listen to.
Yeah.
Right.
But
although let me tell you something. When I was running for office, I did some radio station in other languages. Of course, I don't speak the languages, so I had to depend on some good friends to get my word out. And I think that's why I did so well in Brockton, because we have pretty active folks in the Haitian and Cape Verdean communities that vote. So I enjoy doing that. What I'd like to do, maybe in my spare time now that I'm not running for office, is maybe learn one of those languages and get the word out for different things that we do. We have a lot of diversity in our station. We always have. From the day I got there, we've had board members, we've had community members, and let's face it, there isn't a Cape Verdean newspaper in Brockton or a Haitian newspaper in Brockton, but there certainly are shows on the channel. And, we help get the word out. I love going to the different events. Everybody's culture is important, and you learn things through the music, believe it or not, through the food and the entertainment, and it's something that I enjoy very much. That's what I like about Brockton. Brockton is a place where everybody, gets along and feels good about the community.
And I think that's why people like the Brockton Community Access, because that's what it is. It's all these different groups who come together and do shows for some entertainment and some for information. And I think the cable station really brings that out in the community.
Well, that's what we try to do, and it's the members that drive it, the folks that come and present the ideas, and we're always looking for more. We're going to be doing an open house. We're going to get the word out and get some more folks. I'm all charged up. You look at a silver lining in something. If one door doesn't open, another one does, and it just re-energizes me. I met a lot of very nice people on the campaign trail, and I'm hoping to get some of them involved in the community, and at least on TV.
Oh, that's good. Anything else you're planning in the future? Some ideas that you may want to let people know that what you might want to try, might want to work on? Like to announce anything now?
Sure. We're going to be looking to get some talent from some people. We have a show called One North Main, and right now, Jay Miller, who's our director of operations, hosts it. Nubi Rotolo hosted it before he went on to work in the mayor's office. And we're going to be looking for some kind of guest reporters and guest talent to come on and help us do the show. We're also looking, we have some interns that are doing some of our sports programming, some of our sports announcing. We'd like to get some more volunteer involvement in that versus it being very heavily staff-oriented, because let's face it, when we do a sporting event, we also have to keep the studio open. We might even have a council meeting or a school committee the same night, or or to top it all off, we might be covering an event. So sometimes four events in one night with a small staff, it gets difficult. We just got a Curry College student intern. We've had interns from Massasoit and Stonehill and Bridgewater State. So we do internship programs for credit. So if somebody has either waited till the last minute to get an internship or they're looking for one for next semester, we'd love to have them.
Well, good. And it's great to have people who want to get involved. I know most of it at the Cable is volunteer. As you said, you have a small staff. But something like that for the community is a volunteer, and it would be great, as you said. People, if you're interested, come on down. You know, your first rule of thumb when you get down there is just to have fun.
Are you still there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I did. It just kind of cut in and cut out.
Oh, okay.
That's okay. It's a good old cell phone. That's what happens. Yeah, right?
There you go. Well, Mark, thanks for calling in. I'm definitely going to have you on the show again.
And well, let me know how we can support you. I'm glad you're on the podcast format to get the word out. You'll still stand up strong.
Oh, thank you. Then you were listening to Mark Lindy, General Manager of Brockton Community Access, long-term resident, lifetime resident of Brockton, and it was great to have him on. This is Ed Miller with Chuck Blanchett. We're going to be signing off now, but we're going to have a lot more shows and have a lot more people come in and let them know what they're doing in our city, and that's what we have to know, and maybe even the show itself can expand and let people know what's happening in the whole area. Again, my name is Ed Miller.
And I'm Chuck Blanchett.
And thank you for signing in.